I love getting up in the morning. I clap my hands and say, this is going to be a great day.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the All-Star Leader Cast, and I'm your host, Adam Smarecki. I'm really looking forward to this episode, as I do to pretty much every one of these episodes, because I really enjoy doing this. But this one's going to be special. As I have mentioned in the past, we've talked about All-Star Home Medical, the company, and there's an update that we want to do today. I think that it's a good time to do this. So All-Star Home Medical is still All-Star Home Medical. We are branching off and into the startup stages of a very important piece of business, or a very important venture that we are putting our heart and soul into. I am definitely one of the folks that is involved in this. If it hasn't been clear to everyone before, I am the founder of All-Star Home Medical, and I'm also the founder of the new venture that we are embarking on. It has been an adventure, to say the least. I have been working on this project for about 5 years now, and it happened to be the time for me to do it. All cards on the table. My previous engagement ended, and I made the decision to bet on myself and get this going. All parts of betting on myself had everything to do with really having the passion and the belief that what we're doing next is going to be something special for the home medical equipment industry. It's very specific to the home medical equipment industry, as opposed to all of home care. Could branch out, we never know. I'm at this moment in time, I am at the point where I'm going to have a Jerry Maguire moment. If you have never seen Jerry Maguire, you won't understand the reference, but if you have seen it, you may understand it. I'm at a point now where it is time to get my thoughts out. It's time to spread the word about what we want to do and what we're trying to do moving forward. So this episode of the podcast is going to be basically, in general, me pouring my heart out and explaining my vision to all that is interested. Not exactly an infomercial per se, but at the same time, this will be spread around the country and possibly in North America or even the world to as many interested parties as possible. These are investment parties I'm speaking about, or even partnerships with other HME companies out there. Excuse me. So stay tuned to the episode. There will be some segments that are normal, especially talking about quotes and things like that. I always want to share that. I've been reading pretty religiously over the last couple of days, at least, different segments of The Art of War by Sun Tzu. I'm sure people have heard about it. I know that it's a book that doesn't, in a lot of cases, is very misunderstood and people don't understand that it's not really, about power and other things. It's about wisdom, really. So there's some huge leadership topics in here. And in the next segment, I'll be reading one of them and discussing it just a little bit and sharing a new quote with you that I absolutely love that I found on Twitter. And we will definitely continue to go from there. Excuse me as I clear my throat. So at the time of this recording, the original pitch deck has gone out to some investors, and we'll look to hear from them. Obviously, it hasn't even been 24 hours. So we're going to talk through it and see where we go. I will be waiting to hear. And within the next couple of segments, we'll continue to talk about the project, the venture, why it's so important, and how anyone that sees the vision, that catches the vision, understands what we want to do, how they can contribute and become a partner, and look at some of the offers that I have put out there, because I am very, very committed to this vision. So it's not the greatest move in business, I would say, for me to open up the books and my heart to this. But at the same time, I don't see why that wouldn't be something a leader would do. I am absolutely becoming flat out vulnerable, which is something that does happen and can happen in the world of leadership. And I believe that that's the time for me to do it now. So thank you, everybody, for joining us today. It'll be an interesting ride, and let's keep moving on. All right, next segment. So as I promised during the intro, interview, whatever you want to call it, well, it was an interview, that I've been reading The Art of War by Sun Tzu. The copy I have is the James Harris, it's the adaptation by James Harris. Obviously, if it wasn't adapted for English, I wouldn't be able to read it. There's also some differences where, you know, there's a bit of explanation and put into words that, you know, we would understand a little bit more. But there's something in here that I wanted to discuss, and this is my copy, and you probably hear me playing with it in the background here. But the highlighted portion that I have in here today is, if a general has no understanding of adaptability, he cannot be trusted with a position of authority. The skillful general looks for four types of people and places them in their appropriate positions. 1, a wise man. 2, a brave man. 3, a desirous man. And 4, a foolish man. The wise man delights in displaying his wisdom. The brave man displays his courage in battle. The desirous man seeks and profits from opportunities. And the foolish man does not fear death. You look at that from a leadership perspective in business, or in a volunteer organization, or in, we've talked about this before, on a team or a band or whatever it is, you got to put people in places and you've got to use their strengths. And that goes back to understanding your staff. It goes back to understanding the people around you, even if it's colleagues and they don't report to you. You know, we've talked about this plenty of times. Being a leader doesn't have everything to do with subordinates. It has to do with that natural ability to lead projects or lead people or have that personality to get there. And I think that, you know, we've discussed in previous episodes some of the, you know, definitely quotes and some processes you can do. But I think, you know, moving forward, we need to talk today a little bit about acting and providing yourself with that confidence to be that way, to where it comes natural to you going forward. So, you know, reading things like Sun Tzu is, in my opinion, certainly important to the process of getting there. It's all part of the success process for yourself. You know, for me, as we've talked in the past, the gym, feeding my brain, feeding my body, feeding my soul, all those things have everything to do with my, I guess we would put it my succession rate, I guess, or my the success I've had moving up the ladder, or whatever you want to call it. You know, those are pieces of it. And I'll be admitting today, and I've said before in the earlier intro to this, that there's going to be a few things that are just going to kind of come out there in the open. But you know, I was late to the gym today, and it messed up my day. I mean, I got past it. You know, I wasn't a terrible human being the whole day, but there is a time where I do that. It's part of my checklist, and I definitely noticed it when I was there later than normal. Excuses why I was late, whatever. You know, that's what we don't do. We don't make excuses, right? But, you know, it's one of those things that admittedly, excuse me, I need to get stronger at. I need to be able to adapt when something goes awry in what I can control. For me, if I can control something by acting or acting upon or making a judgment call that affects only me, then I find it in some cases to be unacceptable that something has gone astray or awry, or that my day hadn't gone the way as planned, because I could control that piece of it. I could have controlled what time I went to bed last night, and I could have controlled waking up this morning. Okay, so that's what it was. Well, my body told me I needed some more rest, and that's okay. But at the same time, it really kind of screwed me up. So that's how that, you know, it happens. And I will get over that. And that's one of the things that I need to learn as well. And there's some other things that we'll probably discuss in this episode. In fact, we'll discuss in the next segment before we get into the moving forward with our Jerry Maguire moment. But I think that it's a good time to move on to the next segment and talk about a philosophy that was discussed shortly on a previous episode of the LeaderCast with Jeffrey McNulty. We talked about something there, and we'll talk about it in the next segment, and I'll give my opinion on it. So I appreciate you being here, as always. You know, giving the gift of time is amazing, that you're sharing your time with me. Just listen to me talk. It's amazing to me. So talk to you in the next segment. Thank you. All right, next segment. Exciting. It is. It's exciting. I don't know if some people think I'm excited or not, but I certainly am. And you'll be able to tell if I'm excited or not if you check out our YouTube channel, which is an amazing channel. I'm so happy we have it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. And it's going to be very important to this episode of the podcast, actually, because in the YouTube, we will have somewhat of a presentation of the venture that I've been talking about. And it'll be important. So the audio of my Jerry Maguire moment may come from there. I'm not sure, but I think there'll be a part one of the Jerry moment going from there, and not Jerry Seinfeld, Jerry Maguire. So, okay, guys. So listen, we had a conversation with Jeffrey McNulty, who is the author of The Ultimate Retail Manual. And I should say this. We had such a great discussion about so many things. We are definitely going to have a part two. Okay. But we did discuss a philosophy that did not have a lot to do with the retail manual or the business manual, leadership manual, right? We did have a conversation about a philosophy or a syndrome that we've heard called the imposter syndrome. And the imposter syndrome has everything to do, at least it's been derived from leaders that end up with this syndrome or this conversation within their head that they're imposters, meaning, who am I to be in charge of this many people? Who am I to say these things as if I'm the expert? You know, I'm an imposter. I'm not someone that should be shooting my mouth off. I'm not someone that should be involved in this. I don't understand how I got here. That is, well, those are pretty extreme examples. Those are examples of imposter syndrome. And every word of that I just mentioned are sentences that I have said in my head over my career more than once. The imposter syndrome is something that I struggle with. But I also know other people struggle with it. I'll give you my example in a minute. But what I can say is this. Just because it has been derived from a leadership perspective or from people that happen to be in leadership, it is not solely set aside or I can't think of another word right now, but it's not solely, you're permitted to have an imposter syndrome if you're not in a leadership position, or if you're in a leadership position, but it's a supervisor, or you're the lead on the floor, you're the floor lead, or whatever it is, or you are about to graduate. I was quiet there for a second because there's lots of reasons why someone might end up with imposter syndrome. And imposter syndrome is kind of scary a bit, to be honest with you. I mean, to look at it from a very serious perspective, the imposter syndrome could morph into other things. It could really destroy someone's confidence. And that's why I think it's very important to talk about this. So let's go to an example that I have of myself right now. Okay. So as I mentioned earlier, my previous engagement ended, And I decided to go a direction on betting on myself to get a couple ventures off the ground, but mainly the venture we're going to talk about shortly. And I bet on myself, lots of confidence, pushing forward, rock star attitude. You know, there's no stopping me, to the point where it seemed to be maybe I was getting a little unhealthy just because I was pushing so hard, which I had to recognize. And that's a skill that you will learn over time. You need to understand when you're pushing too hard on yourself. However, I got to the point where, okay, it's time to pitch this thing now. And the first thought that came into my head was, who am I to be taking an idea and walking into someone else's time, or walking on their time, meaning I walk into their life and, you know, who am I to waste their time and talk to them about an idea that I have? Who am I to present this idea? I'm nobody. I'm not Walt Disney. I'm not Henry Ford. I'm not Rockefeller. I'm nobody. Well, I got over that. And I said, you know what? This is it. I've got 28 years of experience in the same business. I have been promoted on several occasions. Every step for me has been a step up. And I live and breathe, well, the business I'm in, but I also live and breathe leadership. At the same time, I just know that this is a good idea. And I've gotten over it. I've said, nope, it's going out. And so again, the pitch deck, having conversations with people, connecting, social media connections, LinkedIn, of course, you know, making connections, different surveys I've sent out and marketing materials and all these things have come back and given me the confidence that, you know what, I'm not an imposter. I'm here to do this. Now, for me, that's something that I hope that someone is listening that may be going through this, and how to get just through that is to just get through it, right? Simple as that. Look back at yourself and say, I came up with this. This came up in my head. Or I was given this job because someone saw something in me and they're not wrong, right? Whatever the reasons are that you've been put in a position to either pitch an idea, to lead a group, to be in charge of a major project, imposter syndrome can be beaten just by saying to yourself, I'm here for a reason. And you validate those reasons because it'll be easy because you can. You know, I mean, it's very that point blank. It really is. Unless you're really an imposter, right? I mean, unless you've lied on your resume and you don't have any idea, then that's a lot different. But the imposter syndrome is actually an oxymoron, because you're not an imposter, okay? It's a very strange syndrome to go through, but, you know, they name it a syndrome for a reason, because it's real. It happens to more than one person. It is a descriptive mutation of an attitude that has been shared by more than one test subject syndrome. So that is that's where we are. You know, it's one of those things that we can certainly talk through even more. There's definitely a lot of books on this. There's plenty of papers written in medical journals where this is a real thing. Imposter syndrome is up there with placebo. There are two things that are proven to be, number one, proven to be real, and number two, proven to be accurate during testing. So these are things that happen. It's not, nobody's making this up. This isn't some weird philosophy, you know, for those of you that are, you know, hippie haters is what I call them. You know, if you can't look beyond your nose at other ideas of the way, you know, people should conduct their lives, or different ways that people get through the day. You know, that's what that is. I'm not saying any of my listeners are that, but, you know, that's what I'm describing. So anyway, so that's great. I'm glad that we talked about it. You know, I'm looking for some feedback. And the reason I say I'm glad we talked about it is because it's pushing and prepping me for the next segment, which is our Jerry Maguire moment. Okay. But let me leave you with a one of my favorite quotes that I just found on Twitter. And I hope I don't get it wrong the first time because I don't have it written down, but I'm going to say it. And if it's wrong, I'm going to say it again. Okay. So here we go. You should never look in your neighbor's bowl unless it's to see if they have enough. You should never look in your neighbor's bowl unless it is to see if they have enough. Meaning, don't worry about what other people are doing. Okay? Don't be jealous of your neighbor. If you see a 30-year-old guy driving down the road in a Ferrari and has a Rolex watch on, don't worry about what he's doing. Don't judge him. Don't say, well, you know, he's probably, made some of that money on that damn internet or whatever. Don't judge him. You don't know what he's got going on. Okay. Don't worry about what they have. Don't worry about what someone else has. Don't worry about their finances. I think a lot of us, especially when we are working for someone that has a high position and we make assumptions that, well, boy, they must be really well off, or man, they probably don't have any problems or whatever that is. So don't worry about it. The only time you should judge anyone is to see if you need to help them. Okay, quick story. Phillips 66 gas station by my house. I'm in there, hot day, okay? I mean, it's hot. It hit 100 easy, and the humidity was even worse. Someone walked in that happened to be someone that, you know, probably was not accepted by the group, or they accepted by society, whoever that was. This person was obviously homeless and had asked for a cup of ice or a cup of water. The attendant would not give that to them, so I said, I'll pay for their water. And kind of funny, they didn't want a bottle of water, they wanted ice in a water. And I said, that's fine. So I went and got it and paid for it. And it was one of those big gulp type cups, the big Phillips 66 cup. And I paid and I said, well, how much is that? And the guy said to me, a quarter. I couldn't believe it. They would not give this person who has no shelter, obviously, a cup of water with ice in it because it would cost them a quarter. My phone just went off and I don't know why, but I'm going to. All right. You know me, I don't edit anything out, so my phone's going off, but okay. So yeah, I found that to be very strange. I just didn't like that. It just was something that was weird. But anyway, you know, getting back to the point is I looked in her bowl and saw that she didn't have enough, and I gave her some. That's it. So don't judge anybody. You don't know what's going on with them. Okay, don't judge your leaders. You don't know what they have going on either. Okay? All right, next segment. Here we go. Jerry Maguire moment.
Well, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not going to do what you all think I'm going to do, which is
flip out.
Okay, everybody, here we are. Jerry Maguire moment. I guess I should give a quick background. If some people don't know the Jerry Maguire movie, I'll make it very clear. It's a movie starring Tom Cruise from the mid-90s. Tom Cruise, Renee Zellweger, and Cuba Gooding Jr. It's about a sports agent who was very successful, became a bit unsuccessful, had fallen out or left his previous employer under circumstances where he decided that he was going to have enough of things that were going on either in the industry or with them, went to strike out on his own and start something else. And he bet on himself to do that. And it was a very risky proposition for him to do that. So that's essentially where I'm at, Jerry Maguire moment. Now, granted, it's not under any bad circumstances. Okay. There's no issues with previous employers. There's no issues with engagements or any of that type of thing, or the industry. It has to do with the fact that it's time for me to get my venture, my vision, my idea out there even further. I need to get out of my comfort zone. I need to bet on myself and do this. I had been working on it for about 5 years, as I said. some other things had come up that I was able to get off the ground, but this venture as a part of All-Star Home Medical is essentially going to be what puts us on the map and may take over the business completely, which is perfectly fine because my passion is what I'm going to talk about next. So out there, there's other programs similar to this, but what I'm passionate about is everyone that's working in the home medical equipment industry or anyone that does not have a job right now that could possibly walk through our doors in the home medical equipment industry. I'm hoping that number one, they have wonderful experiences and understand the business and take away from the business what I have. I've given my life to it. I've been in home medical equipment in one way or another, or in home care in one way or another for 28 years. Okay. I'm 42. So if you do the math, I was a teenager when I started. So, I've given my life to it. I don't think of any other business. I'm business oriented. I understand businesses. I can run any type of business you have. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is my passion lies. My passion lies in home medical equipment. The issues that we see in home medical equipment that I know we have seen for years is staffing. And it's not, originally it wasn't getting people in the door. It was getting people in the door and keeping them. The turnover rate, especially for service technicians, is very high. In our industry. And if anyone tells you it isn't, I think that they need to pay attention and get a different set of books. So it was very high. Customer service representatives may not as high as service technicians, but definitely in their range. These folks have gotten better. It's gotten better for customer service reps, service technician type positions, billing as far as pay goes. It's gotten better. Hospital systems are paying more than they were. Private companies are paying them the best that they can. But at the same time, for our companies, I don't care how big or small you are, national or not national, to survive, we need people to make the deliveries. We need people to take the orders. We need people to bill the orders, right? That's what we need to do. And in some cases, we need our clinical people to do their job, okay? Getting folks into the arena is one thing, but having them trained and able to start right away is another. And that's what I'm proposing. I watched years ago, I was watching late night TV. And of course I saw one of these infomercials about a trade school for heating and cooling, refrigeration, HVAC stuff. So, and there's mechanic trade schools. There's all these different trade schools out there. But there's no trade schools per se for home medical equipment. Now, you might say, oh, there's DME train or there's other companies and certify people. I get that. Needless to say, those companies that certify people, I've already had conversations with. And we've got a very nice conversation going and a nice soft partnership there. So we'll leave that out. But anyone that's listening that understands what I'm talking about, we know that that partnership is there. So don't worry about that. There's plenty of ways to train people. Hands-on is one thing. But at the same time, look at it from this perspective. Okay, you got to train somebody. Well, you're spending how much? So if you've got a technician or customer service making $14 an hour, whatever that is, you've got their salary plus a manager or supervisor or lead salary training them, or even if you have an education person, which a lot of companies don't, and if they do, they're blessed. There's two salaries that are wrapped up in one person who isn't guaranteed to really do a great job after 30 days anyway, okay? If you can get a person in your doors day one, go on the road, and start the job the way it's meant to be done, that's pretty big, okay? So what I'm proposing is an HME Academy. That is what I want to do. I've been passionate about it for a long time. This is something that is not an expensive venture, okay? It's not expensive to run. I am not a millionaire. I do not have the seed capital or the seed money or the capital to start this from the ground up. I'm advanced in my life. I'm advanced in my career. So 20 years ago, I could have probably done this by setting up some sort of, well, maybe not 20 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, a very small area that didn't make any money for 5 years, and then maybe we grew it. The time is now, okay? This needs to be done. The academy needs to start. The academy can start anywhere. In one location, physical is fine to start, and the rest is online. But here's the point. The point is, what are we doing? What are we creating? We are creating jobs for people in every state that they didn't have before, meaning not just jobs, it's a skill to be hired, okay? No, I'm not opening a factory and bringing in, you know, 150 jobs per county. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is providing a service to students to be certified in something that they would not have been before and maybe not have thought about. However, you come out of the school with a certification, I'm going to help you get hired. I am going to find you a job out of there. It's going to happen. Plenty of people out there with smaller DMEs, larger DMEs, need a funnel of staff. You need staff. You cannot survive in DME and grow in DME without people to make the deliveries and to take the orders. You're going to hear that a lot coming out of my mouth. But we all know this, right? DME owners know this. The accountants know this. Everyone knows this, okay? Who doesn't know this is the patients and our healthcare customers. And you know what? They don't need to know this. I don't know how many times I have cringed and heard on the phone from a customer service representative that needed to be coached immediately that we're sorry, we're understaffed. We're sorry, we don't have enough people. That it's not to be said on the phone, okay? That's an internal thing. And I'm just going to leave that out there. Let's be honest, okay? Yes, that person's or those people are coached right away, and they seem to get it. If they don't, we'll talk about it again. That's fine. But what I'm trying to say here is we don't need to have that even be an option. It should not be something that our reps are able to even think about saying on the phone. Coming to work every day, having enough staff to run your business every day can start with, well, can start with my HME Academy. Simple as that. You know, there's plenty of different tentacles to this thing. For starters, though, it is training, and it's providing a skill to people that don't have it, or it's providing an employee to a company that needs it right now. You know, having enough employees to make deliveries and take orders could be life or death for some of the smaller guys that haven't been eaten up yet or picked up by nationals. You know, that might be it's probably not a nice term to say eaten up, but I think we all say that. Sold. Okay. It's not a bought out. Okay. There's guys out there and gals out there that own companies that are smaller that don't want to sell yet and want to survive, but they can't, and they're not growing because they don't have enough people to take the orders and to make the deliveries, and they're not getting paid because the orders aren't correct or the delivery hasn't been done correctly. Signatures aren't right on the paperwork, whatever that is. So this is something that we need to do. We need to do now. It's not going to take a long time. There's not a lot of investment in comparison to huge companies and what you would need to start a DME company. This is being looked at as a very serious business contender, distance learning, possibly get to the point where it's a not-for-profit. We don't know yet. However, this is a service that needs to be provided, and with a bit of capital, it can be provided and can be very lucrative. There's no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind that it can be lucrative. There's not a ton of overhead in this at all. I'm not going deep into the performa of this or whatnot, because I can't have every single person that's listening to this sign an NDA, right? But at the same time, I'm getting it out there. And if someone steals my freaking idea, steal it. Fine. If that's the kind of person you are. Okay. I'm at the point now where, I'm making my final approach, and I'm either going to go nose down or I'm going to take off. That's it. Okay. That's where the Jerry Maguire piece comes in. Okay. You know, it's one of those things where I think that you've got a lot of companies out there that are innovative, and they say, well, I don't like the product that's out there, so I'm going to make my own. And that's a great way to do things. It's a great way to say, you know, if you don't have, if they don't have what you want, make it yourself. Okay, that's fine. And that is great. And that's what I'm doing here. Okay. But also at the same time, there are some companies out there that are being a bit, not arrogant, it's a bad word, just a tiny bit delusional to say, well, I can do this myself. You know, I can just train all these people. You can, but nobody's on the road. Okay. You can steal this idea and say, well, I can do it myself now and I'll start. Okay. Then steal it. Okay. That's not what this is about. You know, this is about me getting it off the ground and getting the right people involved, partnering with the right people, and making this something that everyone can benefit from. This concept, this idea, is to make sure that moving forward, our industry in the United States is doing well and will always be there. There's plenty of times that we have been threatened by fee schedules, government entities that don't understand what we do, don't want to know what we do, don't want to pay us for what we do. And we know this. But we work around it, and we always have. We're a surviving group. We're a survival type industry. That's what we do. We survive. The best ones grow. They don't use the term survive. Okay. Well, some of us are surviving. So this is the point where I say, contact me if you want to hear more. Dramatic pause. No, it's really, contact me if you want to hear more. But you know, my email is very simple. It's adammedsales@gmail.com. adammedsales@gmail.com. The website's under construction again, because I needed to make it look better. And I'm doing that right now. Doing these things by myself, of course. You know, I do have some advisors, but I wasn't happy with the way the website turned out. I thought it was too generic. I didn't like the fact that some of the design was stolen by Fifth Third Bank. I don't know what they did, but I had that first. Anyway, it needs to be more informative. I'm in full pitch mode right now, and I'm very passionate, if you can't tell. This is not a money grab for me. This is not something that I have been saying, gosh, we're going to make money hand over fist. That's not what this is. It's me figuring out a way to get this done. It's me figuring out a way to get this done to attract investors that see a return on their investment. This is not for me to do anything other than be the founder of this, stay in it for a while, and make sure that it lives on and someone else can take the helm. And I want this to be something for everyone. I'm looking for partners in DME. I'm looking for partners outside investors. I know we're not going to see any startup money coming from Blackstone. I get it. But that's what I'm looking for. Private investors that want to possibly, all right, I want to add healthcare to my portfolio. You can. This is healthcare too, or as well. That's what we're doing here. That's what we're looking for. Again, not a money grab for me. This is the fact that yes, money can be made here. Schools are businesses as well. Any university is a business as well. Okay. So we're there. We've got things that we can talk about. I have three partners on board right now that are ready to take the trek with me, promote it, be an actual client of this, certify me, push it, partner with it. That's where we are, okay? So again, if you're interested at all in this, in the concept, and to understand the real deep dive into the business model, contact me, adammedsales@gmail.com. adammedsales@gmail.com. Those are ways that you can get a hold of me. I'm on LinkedIn, Adam Smarecki. Easy. Adam Smarecki. So this is where we are, guys. I have a good idea, and I know I do. And this is where, as I talked about in the previous segment, the imposter syndrome was there, but I apparently got over it. Okay, I'm saying this. Maybe it's easier to say it because I'm in the Palatial Studios right now with my amazing new microphone, by the way, my Blue Yeti. Oh my gosh, if you're a podcaster, I got this on Amazon Prime Day. You have to get one of these. Anyway, podcasting is fun. So getting back to it, you know, I it's something that needs to be done, guys. I'm sorry, guys and girls, it needs to be done. Excuse me. I need to make it clear. I'm not here to compete with anybody. I've mentioned DME Train. I used them. I've mentioned other companies. Not by name, but we know there's services out there. We know there's staffing services out there. We know that there's training and staffing services out there. What I'm saying is I'm adding something to that. I am not in competition. I am a complement, right? We learned that during your MBA, right? Or any of your business courses. Yeah. Do these two firms complement each other or are they competition? We complement each other. I am creating something that is for everyone, that is a feeding source into other businesses. Does it go into a staffing business? Yes. Does the company and the people and the students, do they move into employment for a DME? Yes, they do. Do they move into employment into a different stratosphere? Sure, they do. Absolutely. The skills that we're teaching these folks go above and beyond only DME. Okay? We want it to be DME focused. 99% of it is. But we also have other programs that I'd love to talk about with anyone who's interested that give folks some different skills that they're not going to get anywhere else. You're going to learn skills from us that you might have to spend. Maybe you want to go to community college and get an associate's degree in accounting or associate's degree in leadership development or whatever that is. We've got programs for leadership built into our curriculum. I better get used to that word because I'm running a school here. Saying curriculum is something I'm going to say. Okay. Believe me, you're going to want to hear about this. You just are. I've been around people with the means. Okay. I've been around people that have owned a lot, that have been given opportunities, God-given, of course, and hard work. Don't doubt what I'm saying. And I've seen these folks work, I know. And I'm telling you, the investment in something like this to start this up is not much in comparison to. We'll just leave it at that. The investment is not much in comparison to, and you can compare it to whatever you want, because my passion for this is selling it. How are we going to grow? I'm going to grow it. My passion is going to grow this. My passion for this is going to spread around to the people that work with me, work for me, and that are my partners, and it's going to grow with us. I'm just telling you that. We need to create jobs for people that don't have them. We need to create a skill for people that don't have them. Okay? We're talking biomed skills. We're talking credits, continuing ed credits for people that already do have skills. But let's focus on folks that don't. Customer service skills, learning soft skills, learning scripting, how you're going to answer the phone, how are you going to empathize or possibly sympathize with a hospice family? How are you going to do that? How are you going to learn to use technology that you didn't learn before because you were working somewhere they didn't have it? So you're coming in, I'm learning the not the billing, but the customer service side of this. So I'm going to learn the customer service skills, and I'm going to learn how to be on the phone, put someone on hold, look up an order while they're on the phone with them, check an insurance, continue to move forward. And I'm also going to learn how to keep it all together. How am I going to keep this all together? My brain is going to explode. I've got all these people on hold. We're going to teach you how to do that. That's what we're going to do. This is the passion I'm talking about. This is the passion that I have for this. Durable medical equipment, home medical equipment has been easy for me because I've been doing it for so long. And as a leader, I absolutely have had issues getting past myself saying, well, why can't they just do that, right? I got over that. I figured it out, okay? So this is where we are, guys. Anyone, please, wants to get a hold of me, let's talk about it. AdamMedSales@gmail.com. AdamMedSales@gmail.com. The new website will be up. Building it tomorrow. We'll get it up. We'll have a new domain. So we'll have a new way of getting hold of us there. You've got the All-Star Podcast, LeaderCast on YouTube. And of course, this podcast that you're listening to. We're going to continue to push this. I will make announcements after I hear back from some of the investors that I've been speaking with. And if there's a reason that we're not moving forward in a manner that makes sense, I'll come back and we'll talk about it again. We're going to get this thing off the ground. It's going to happen. All right. There you go. That's it. That's my passion for it, everybody. Jerry Maguire moment. Let's fill the need out there. Let's get the right employees working for you. Let's get people back to work that are absolutely, what do you want to put it? They're just positive influences on the HME business. These people that aren't working right now. Well, those people we're going to pick out. We're going to bring them back. And guess who's teaching our courses? The best. That's why it's called All-Star. That's it. Okay, everybody, I thank you. That was a longer segment than I thought. I just let it go, let it rip. I'll listen to it, but I'm sure as heck not going to edit it. So everybody, again, thank you very much. I truly, truly, truly appreciate you spending your time with me. If you can, please, after you've heard this, share this with anybody you think might be interested. Just do that. I'm passionate about it. I'll be back with another episode. It'll be about leadership. This was the time for this. Thank you, everybody. Have a great rest of the day, whatever you're doing. Okay? Make sure your connections are full of purpose. Have a good one.
Shut up. Just shut up. You had me at hello.